on to the scriptures. All right, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers will give you a Bible. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. I'm so excited about our study today. This summer, we've decided to study the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. We're calling it the Summer of Wisdom at River West Church. All right, so we're in summer school. And it's the Summer of Wisdom this summer. And it's going to be great. Last week, we defined wisdom like this. It is the life skill of building something beautiful, something lasting, something meaningful in a world that's literally falling apart all around us. Wisdom is the skill of building. That's why on the cover of your bulletin, you see assorted tools. How wisdom works. I'll tell you how wisdom works. It actually builds something. The reason why building is a main theme that goes with wisdom is because God is the master builder of all things. Building is a wisdom theme. Building is a God theme. The Bible says that God, by wisdom, laid the foundations of the heavens. God is a builder. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is a builder. He builds something beautiful and lasting and meaningful. That's what he does by his very nature. Now, here you are, made in the image of God, the Bible says. You and I were made in his image. You know what that means? That means you're a builder too. Maybe you feel that in your bones. You know? Anytime in this life you say, I don't want to die without doing something meaningful. Have you ever had that thought? I mean, I don't want to die without doing something meaningful. You know what that means? That means you're a builder. That means you're made in the image of God. He hardwired you for that. Sometimes I see in my children or my grandchildren now, from the earliest age, this hardwired kind of thing to build. Ezra, my grandson. Anytime I pull out anything mechanical or anything electronic, he wants to open it up and see the insides. He's like, how does that work, Grandpa? I have to understand how that works. I'm like, wait a minute. You're only four. Just relax. No, I have to know how that works. He's such a little builder. My granddaughter, Elliot, she's a builder too. She likes the Legos, but I'll tell you, what she really wants to build is relationships. She builds relationships. And I'm not kidding you. I think she was 3 years old. And one day after church, I was exhausted. And she was, you know, my assignment was to play with her. And I'm laying on my living room floor just exhausted. I can't say a word. And I have this little ball and I'm throwing it across the room at her, thinking this will do it. I don't have to say a word, I'll just throw the ball, you know. And she looked at me with absolute disgust on her face. And this is what she said to me. I'm not kidding you. She said, people talk, Grandpa. That's what they do. Don't you get it? Don't you know? We're here to talk. We're here to build a relationship. What is the matter with you? I'm like, oh my gosh, did you just say that to me? People talk. All right, just relax. You're a little kid. You know? No. Because we're builders. It made in the image of God. And so wisdom is to join God in his activity of building in our lives and in our world. That's what wisdom is. So we're going to school this summer. We're learning about wisdom. We're learning to build with God in our lives and in our world. Now this week, week two, our theme for the day is the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to live your life in the fear of the Lord? And when I shared this theme with people, I got several reactions. Some people reacted with a sort of concerned interest. The fear of the Lord. And then came the furrowed brow. The fear of the Lord. You know, I know that's important. I get it. I think that's important, but I'm not really sure what that means. So I'm praying for you that you can explain it, you know? And then I had the reaction of confused questioning. Wait a minute, Pastor. Are you telling me I'm supposed to be afraid of God? The fear of the Lord, it sounds like I'm supposed to be afraid of God, but I thought God was love. So I don't get it. Why am I supposed to be afraid of God? And then, of course, the third reaction was just a blank stare, but that's okay. We have to dive into this theme of the fear of the Lord because the fear of the Lord is the single most important theme in the entire book of Proverbs. It's the key to everything. Take a look at it in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to share two verses with you from Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 7. And last week we read this intro paragraph and we came up to verse 7 where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." All right? Now I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Now, you get extra credit if you can remember what I said last week when I said Proverbs has two parts. Chapters 1 through 9, part 1, and then part 2, chapter 10, all the way through the end. Chapters 1 through 9 set the stage, develop all the key themes of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Super important. It's a unit that goes together. And after that, you get a whole lot of individual practical Proverbs. We're going to get there. But 1 through 9 is a self-contained unit. And at the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So at the beginning, we see the fear of the Lord. What about chapter 9 at the end of this first unit? Take a look at verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So here we have bookends. Chapter 1 at the start, the fear of the Lord. Chapter 9, the end of section 1, the fear of the Lord. This is super important. And then actually, we won't read it, but later we'll see in Proverbs 31, the very end of the book, second to last verse, it says, "A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." So at every critical moment in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord shows up as the essential theme. Okay, but what does it mean? What does it actually mean to live our lives in the fear of the Lord? The first thing that I want us to see is that the fear of the Lord is always portrayed in the Bible as a positive. It's always portrayed as a positive, never a negative in the Bible. In fact, the fear of the Lord is portrayed as the single most important quality of a true relationship with God. It's the essence of a true relationship with God. Now, when I read those two verses, you might have noticed, if we go back to chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning. The word beginning, reshit, means a starting place. It has a double meaning. It can mean a starting place. It's like the starting line, start here. But it also means the essential quality. The fundamental, it can mean the fundamental thing. The principal thing. It's like the first thing and the most important thing. That's the idea behind the Hebrew word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's like it all starts here. You want to go to school? You want to learn wisdom? This is your starting place, fear of the Lord. But it's not just the starting place. It's the essential ingredient in knowledge and true knowledge, in wisdom. It's the essential ingredient. It's the fear of the Lord. It's not just the beginning and then you move on from there. It's every day. It's in everything we do. It's the essential thing is the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the the fear of the Lord. It's so important. The reason the fear of the Lord is seen as a positive in the Bible is because it is totally different than typical human fear. The common variety of human fear is very different. Typical human fear so often has the power to disable us, to literally paralyze us and stop us in our tracks. That's what happens with fear just on a human level so often. When I think of being paralyzed by fear, my mind always goes to something that happened. I was about 8 years old, and I had walked out on a main street, Santa Monica, California, where I lived. And I'm walking up the street, a slight incline. There's a big, huge wall on my right. And the street curves to the left like this. And right when you get into the curve and you look back, it appears that all of the traffic is coming directly at you and is going to hit you. But of course, it curves and keeps going. Well, on one particular day, I was walking up this sidewalk, big wall on my right, and as I came to the curve, right at the exact point where all the traffic appears to be coming right at you, there was a gigantic fire truck coming full speed. And right at that moment, it blasted the super horn. You know the super horn? I mean, it's like, it's terrifying, this horn. And I turned around and I see this humongous fire truck coming full speed directly at me, lights flashing, and the horn of death sounds. I have a wall behind me and I literally just was paralyzed and I fell over in the street. I just went, ah. I was paralyzed with fear. That's what fear does on a human level. Have you ever been paralyzed by fear in your life? Maybe because of a physical thing, like a threat, physical threat. Or maybe you've been paralyzed by fear because of just the circumstances of life. Because you didn't see a way out. Because you just were overwhelmed by what was going on. And you're paralyzed by the outcome, by the opinion of someone else, by whatever in your life. And you're paralyzed by fear. So often that's human fear, but the fear of the Lord is radically different. The fear of the Lord has the power to set us free and to move us forward in faith with God. That's what the fear of the Lord does. It's utterly different. It's always positive. It does not bind us or paralyze us. It literally empowers us and it sets us free and it moves us forward in faith in the living God. And the best way that I can show that to you is through a story from the Bible, a story in which the fear of the Lord is sort of the centerpiece. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this story, and as we do, we're going to try to derive some of the components of the fear of the Lord. What's it about to actually live in the fear of the Lord? So let's go in our Bibles back to the book of Exodus and in chapter 14. Exodus 14, this is the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. God's people were in bondage, in slavery, in Egypt, and now God miraculously is leading them out of slavery, redeeming them from their past life and their bondage, and setting them free to give them a new life. It's amazing. It's beautiful. That's the book of Exodus. It's great. And chapter 14 is a crisis moment. Because they're up to the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh has them hemmed in. They're trapped. And it looks like they're going to die unless God does something amazing. That's what we get in chapter 14 of Exodus and in verse 10. We'll pick up the story. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them and they feared greatly. I want you to notice something. They feared greatly. This is one of the dynamics that we find in spiritual life, it's absolutely true. And that is that the fear of the Lord is set in contrast to fear of other things. There's always something to fear in life. There's always bad news. There's always someone who's after you, you know? And there's always another fear that's out there. And that fear often will paralyze us. And that's exactly where they were. Verse 11, they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Now that's a happy thought. "What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent." It's the crisis. It's a crisis of fear. We face crisis after crisis after crisis living in a broken world, living as imperfect people in a broken world. Often the crisis that comes, we've brought upon ourselves. Last week I said, you know, the Bible, the book of Proverbs basically says that we're slackers, you know. But I really, that was a soft sell. Because it doesn't really just say we're slackers, it says we're sinners. We're sinners. And oftentimes the trouble that we've gotten ourselves into is of our own doing. It's of our own choices. It's of our own sin. And we're bound and we're paralyzed. We're desperate. We're hurting. And that's where they were. And so the story goes on. We're going to pick it up in verse 21. Moses gets into action here. Verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So now you get this miracle, miracle of God. And I can imagine that the people are freaking out. Can you imagine the freak out moment of this? I mean, first you've got Pharaoh coming and it looks like it's over. And then you've got the parting of the sea and the people are looking at this and going, "You want me to do what? You want me to walk in there, like down there?" I can imagine the people being absolutely just overwhelmed in this moment. Let's pick up the story at the end. Verse 27, so Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on the right and to their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, and so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. You know what they did next? They went forward. They kept going. In the purpose, the good purpose and plan of God, they were empowered to move forward. What an amazing story. It's an amazing story. What are the components? It says that they feared the Lord. But what are the components? What did they know? What did they see in this moment? They saw the power of God. They saw the power of God displayed before them. Mighty, almighty power of God right before their eyes. They saw the presence of God with them. God's presence. They were not alone. They're not fighting this battle by themselves. God, the Almighty, is with us. He's with us. He's fighting for us. He's present in our lives, present in our world, present in our story. Wow. And they saw the good purpose and plan of God. God had a plan for them. God says, you're not going to die here. Why? Because I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. I'm working redemption in the world. You're part of my story of salvation for the whole world, and I have a plan. I'm not done with you yet, and so you're going to move forward. And they feared the Lord. But I have a sense that they feared the Lord with a sense of awe and joy simultaneously. Now, in chapter 15, they sing this great song to the Lord. I mean, they're just singing and dancing, but they fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not contrary to absolute joy in the Lord. These things do not contradict each other. In fact, they complement each other. If you see the power of God, the presence of God, the good purpose and plan of God for your life and in this world, man, it'll move you. And so what do? They trusted the Lord. They trusted. Having seen his power, believing his presence, knowing he has a good purpose and plan, they trusted him and moved forward. That's wisdom. That's the fear of the Lord. You trust God for who he truly is, and you move forward. I had in my life an interesting experience several years ago. It was actually when we started the church here, and I'll never forget it. It was totally unexpected. When we moved here, you know, I used to walk the streets of Beaverton where we were staying in our friend's basement. And I'd walk the streets, you know, and I'd pray. And I'm praying. And I was kind of freaking out, you know, because I'd been all proud. I'm like, oh, I started a church in Medford. It was a big success. We had a lot of people. We had a building. I know how to do this. I got it. And then when we moved here, I freaked out because I went, this is really hard. I don't really know what to do. I don't know anybody here. And I started kind of freaking out a little bit. And I used to pray, and I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I think you want to do a great work. And Lord, I've had, you know, all this success, and I just thought it would be great. And I'm walking up and down the street praying, and it was the voice of God. Okay, you might think I'm crazy, but I would tell you that maybe about 5 or 6 times in my life, I feel like I've heard the audible voice of God. And I heard the voice of God, and this is what God said to me. It's totally weird. I get it. But I, for some reason, I got it. God said, no man has God in his back pocket. Now that to you might seem like a silly saying, like a wacko thing, but I knew exactly what it meant. And I call that moment the moment that my life was renewed in the fear of God. Because somehow I had gotten the equation wrong. I wasn't starting with the fear of the Lord. I wasn't starting with the power of God and the presence of God and the purpose and plan of God and trusting God for all that. I was starting with myself. I was starting with my wisdom, my experience, my desire, my plans. And I was locked up. And I was afraid and I was paralyzed. You know what God said? God said, no one has God in his back pocket, which I interpreted to mean, you're really messed up. And not only that, I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need you to build my kingdom. I don't need you to start a church. I don't need you for nothing. God would never use that kind of language, but I don't need you. And then you know what happened? I was scared. I got scared. I went, oh, God doesn't need me. But I thought I was God's answer. I thought I was God's gift. God says, I don't need you. But I am building something. And if you will see me and trust me and submit to me, you get to build with me. You get to have a part in what I'm doing. And it instantly changed my life. It instantly changed my perspective. It instantly renewed me in the fear of God, and it empowered me to move forward in faith in God. And that's the way this works. It's the way it works. Let me give you a passage that will capture something of what I've just said. Go back to Proverbs now in chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Now, in a couple of weeks, in about 3 weeks, there's going to be a sermon, a whole sermon on this passage. But I'm giving you a preview. This passage is so important that you should know it by heart. This passage can change your life. This passage outlines for us the wisdom of God and the fear of the Lord. It really does. Proverbs 3 in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Don't you want healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones? Sounds good. Now that, there's wisdom in that passage. It's amazing. And I think you'll hear some of the things I've been talking about already. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. When you lean to your own understanding, you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. That's not the fear of the Lord. When you lean, depend on, look to your own wisdom, your own insight, your own thinking about everything, and you leave God out of the equation, you don't start the process with God, and you don't include him very much in the process, that's not wisdom. Trust in the Lord and lean not. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have your own understanding. It doesn't mean that you don't use your mind. You just don't lean too much on it. You trust in the Lord. The Israelites got up to that water line and they freaked out. They said, according to our own understanding, we're done. God says, you're not done. Because if you take me out of the equation, of course you're done. But if you put me back in, anything is possible. Anything. That's wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The fear of the Lord is a faith issue. It's faith. It's a relationship issue. I trust the living God. That's the fear of the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, he says. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now acknowledge the Lord. Okay, so you have to acknowledge him. But here's what's interesting. Some versions will say, in all your ways, know the Lord. I don't know, you might have that translation. Because the word in the Hebrew can either be translated to acknowledge him or to know him. Acknowledge, know, to know him in all your ways. Like in everything you do, you have to bring the knowledge of the Lord into that. And both of those things are true. That is the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's really important. Okay, think about this. The fear of the Lord is not exactly the same thing as just saying the fear of God. I'm messing with you. Here's the reason why. God is a generic term. It's just a generic term for the deity. You know, like there's a God out there. The Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps in our Bible, it is the God of the Bible. It is Yahweh, the ever-living, redeeming God who revealed himself in the story of Israel and brought Jesus Christ, the Savior, into the world. Lord is more specific than just saying God. The fear of God is good, But the fear of the Lord is wisdom. What does that mean? That means you must see God for who he has revealed himself to be in the scriptures, in Christ, and trust him for who he truly is, for who he really is. Not some vague concept of some floating being up in the sky with a gray beard, and I don't know, there's God's up there somewhere, and I'm afraid of him. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to know the power, the presence, and the purpose of the God of the Bible who's revealed himself in the scripture and in history and in Christ. He's the Lord. And so we need to know him and to grow in our knowledge of him. And finally, it says in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Okay, you got to humble yourself. Can I give you some practical things to do this week? And then I'm going to talk about Jesus for a minute. Here's some practical things. Do this. Pause and pray and personally acknowledge the reality of God. Pause and pray. Acknowledge his reality. Do it often. This is wisdom. It's wisdom. And when you pray, pray that you might see the true reality of who God is as he's revealed himself in scripture. Pray to see that. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see the truth of who you are. See the truth of who you are as revealed in Jesus Christ. Open my eyes, open my heart to see that. This is wisdom. Now, wisdom is a skill. It's something that you learn to do. And I told you last week, I'm learning to play a certain type of guitar in a certain kind of tuning. I'm learning it, and it's somewhat new to me. And so you know what I do? Right by my desk, I have my guitar. It's laying there. It's there. It's right by me. And you know what I do? It's the only way you can learn anything new, especially at this age. You got to bust that thing out. So like several times a day, I go, I'm taking a 10-minute break and I'm pulling this thing out and I'm going to play that song again because I'm forgetting it already. You know, I played it this morning and I've already forgotten it. So now I'm picking it up and I play that song and I go, oh, it's coming back to me. That's sweet. I put it down. 2 hours later, what do? There's that guitar. I pick it up. I play that same song over again. You know what's happening? I'm learning the skill of doing that. Don't you think it's the same when it comes to your life in Christ? You need to pray. Wisdom is to pray and to acknowledge the Lord and to know the Lord. Do that. Do it this week. Do it often. When you go to work, pray. When you get up in the morning, pray. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Put him first. Do this. Learn to listen for the voice of God in his word and in your heart. And he will direct your paths. How's he going to do that? He'll direct you. Okay? Listen for the voice of God in his word and in your heart. This is wisdom because God is a builder. He's going to build in and through your life, but you got to listen to him. You have to follow his direction in life. I recommend take the scriptures and write them down on a card. This is old school. Get a 3x5 card. Write down some verses. Write down Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Write it down. Carry it with you. Put it in your pocket. Put it in the car. Carry it. Take it out at lunch. Read it. Oh, yeah. That's that verse that Pastor Guy talked about wisdom. Pull it out at dinner time. Oh, yeah, there's that verse. There's that truth, okay? Learn to hear the voice of God. It's a living thing, and you'll hear his voice. And the third thing is this. Do this. Take the focus off of yourself and see the larger purpose and plan of God. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Self-focus is foolishness. We're going to see that in Proverbs over and over again. Self-focus is foolishness. God-focus is wisdom. Take your eyes off yourself. Look at the Lord. Look at others. Pray about that. If you're having a hard time, if you're having a hard day, just stop and pray and ask this question. Lord, am I focusing on myself? Is that what the problem is? Am I overly self-focused? You might be surprised at the answer. Now I want to talk about Jesus. All right? So we come to the end of the message. I just want to talk for a minute about Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of what it means to walk in the fear of the Lord. He is the ultimate fulfillment in our lives. And I only have time to show you one story, one passage. It's in the Gospel of Matthew 28. Let's look at Jesus. Would you do this with me? This is wisdom. Look at Jesus, who the Bible says is wisdom. He's been made wisdom unto us. The fear of the Lord. And who is the Lord? Jesus Christ came into the world to show us the reality of God, our Savior. He's the embodiment of all that God is. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Imagine this scene for a minute. Matthew 28. It's Easter Sunday. And in verse 5, as the women come to the tomb, and I imagine their hearts are bound and broken and paralyzed with sorrow and fear. And they come to the tomb, and in verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. And so I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Can you imagine? Fear and great joy. These two things don't contradict each other, not in the fear of the Lord. With fear and great joy. That's when you're alive. That's being fully alive. It's amazing. And that was what happened when they saw, or when they heard this news about Jesus. In verse 9, behold, Jesus met them and he said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Jesus, the risen Lord. He says, "Don't be afraid." Their hearts were beating. They were racing 100 miles an hour. They had a look of shock on their faces. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Go. Get moving. Go. I'm going to go to Galilee. Tell the others, I'm going to Galilee." Fear, excitement, joy, faith, movement, a destination, go do something. It's the fear of the Lord. Everywhere in the New Testament, everywhere in the gospel, we see Jesus as the fulfillment of this principle. Who is the power of God? Jesus. Raised from the dead on the third day. Death could not hold him, defeated death. King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the power of God Almighty in history. His victory. Who is the presence of God? Jesus. "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," says Jesus. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." The very presence of God. Who is the purpose and the plan of God? The good purpose and plan of God, Jesus. He's our Savior. He loves us. He's building something in this world. He's building his church. He's building his kingdom. He says, "You get to be a part of it." No wonder the Bible says, put your faith in Jesus. Trust him. The fear of the Lord, the ultimate expression is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord, the power, the presence, the purpose and plan of God, the gospel. It's a personal relationship with him. You need to put your faith in Jesus. Isn't it beautiful? I think of Jesus out on the lake with the disciples and there's a great storm. Disciples are freaking out. "Don't you care, Lord, that we're going to die?" The Bible says Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves and there was a great calm. You know what the Bible says? And they were afraid. They said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" oh my gosh, what a moment. Who is this? What's going on? Can you imagine their hearts beating? Who is this Jesus? Book of Revelation, chapter 1. Apostle John sees a vision of Christ in all of his glory, and he falls at his feet as though dead. And Jesus lays his hand on him and says, fear not. I am the first and the last. I have the keys of death and Hades. Fear not. And this is exciting stuff. It's beautiful. Do you know Jesus? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Do you have the wisdom to face your week with Jesus? Let's do something. I'm going to have the worship team come up here right now. And as they do, I'm going to ask you to sing a little song with me. You know the song. Sing the song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Okay, but wait. Verse 2, let's think about it. What does verse 2 say? Let's sing. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Wait, stop. What? What are we saying? It was grace that taught my heart to do what? To fear. It was grace when God came to me and he said, no one has God in their back pocket and I don't need you. And all of a sudden I wasn't worried about, you know, what I was going to do. I was worried about, hey, where do I stand with God? That was grace. It was grace that as a young man, when I felt lost and sinful and hopeless, and I felt it and I was afraid for my future and I had no hope, it was grace that let me feel that. Amazing. It's grace at every turn. And sometimes God allows us to feel the full weight of our fear in this world. And it's grace. And then what does the song say? And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed. And here's grace for you, and here's wisdom for you. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who died for your sins and rose again, will never leave you or forsake you. He walks with you. He has a purpose for you, has a plan for you. But will you trust him? Lord, help us. Help us to know you, to trust you, Lord, to live in this exciting, amazing space, Lord, of seeing who you are, who you really are, learning of you, trusting in you, focusing on you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.